I don't often base my homily on the psalm, but I'd like to start with that this morning because I think it's a very powerful, at least the refrain, it's a very powerful image. The queen stands at your right hand. Now, this is the feast of the Assumption of Blessed Mother, not the queenship of Mary. That happens soon, but they're connected, right? And the psalm is composed, that psalm, about 1,000 years before the incarnation of our Lord. So for us, it's kind of easy to connect the psalm to the Blessed Mother, but that wasn't that way when it was composed. There was a understanding of kingship and queenship in the classical world that's a little bit different than how we would typically think of it today. I suppose that for most of us, I mean, if we even think about royalty as Americans, we got rid of kings, but if we think about it, we tend to think of kings and queens being husband and wives. At least that's what I thought when I was growing up. But in the classical world, it wasn't that way at all. In the ancient world, one of the signs of wealth and power was for a man to have many wives. And even as small and not so powerful, not so wealthy of the kingdom of ancient Israel, even the kings of ancient Israel would have many wives to show off their wealth and power. King Solomon, King David, hundreds, at least 100, sometimes more wives, and then concubines too. Now, I have a hard time comprehending why this was a sign of wealth and power. I mean, I am sure that the married men here this morning struggle to keep up with one honey-do list. Can you imagine 100 of them? But because the wealthy and the powerful would have multiple wives, there was no way that one could be picked to be the queen. I mean, the jealousies and petty rivalries that would come about that would be just ridiculous. So in the classical world, the wife of the king was not the queen. Instead, it was his mother. Now, you can have many wives, but you can only have one mom. And so in the classical world, the queen was always the mother of the king. So in a short while, when we celebrate the feast of the queenship of Mary, when we say that Mary is the queen, what we're saying is that Jesus is the king. She can't be the queen without Jesus first being the king. But we're not celebrating the feast of the queenship yet. We're celebrating the feast of the Assumption. Why is this important, though? It's important because just as Mary's dignity as queen of heaven and earth comes from Christ, so too with the Assumption. When we celebrate the feast of the Ascension of the Lord, implicit in that word ascension is that it's coming from his own power. His own divine power, having been raised from the dead, is what allows him to ascend into heaven. But we use a different word in regards to the Blessed Mother, that she was assumed into heaven, which has an implication that the power by which she did that is a derived power. It's derived because she is the mother of Jesus. Now, no doubt, sinless, special graces, she deserves love and honor and respect. But some of the most important things that we say about the Blessed Mother are because she is the mother of Jesus. So her assumption into heaven is because she is connected to Jesus. Familial connections bring certain dignities, honors, responsibilities. This was brought home to me this past week. The Archdiocese has been on us priests to get our wills done and get them filed with the Archdiocese, and I've been putting it off, and finally I decided, surely it's not that complicated. I don't own a house or anything, and so I sat down to fill in the blanks on the template that they emailed us, and they said, make sure that you itemize the really important things in your life so it's very clear who gets what. And so as I was thinking that through, I thought, okay, well, my books, no big deal. Give that to the seminary. Nobody in my family is going to want theology textbooks. So I thought, well, what kind of is the other big thing? And I realized that I had to figure out which of my brothers was getting my truck. So I decided to leave that in the paragraph that said assets to be disposed of at the discretion of the executor. Familial connections give you certain things, honors, dignity, right? That you share in the dignity of somebody else. So for example, at weddings, weddings are a classic example of how this happens, right? If you are friends with the bride and groom, you get invited to the wedding. The closer the friendship is, or if you're a family member, you get a better seat. If you're a distant family member or a distant friend, you're at table 34 and the food's cold by the time you go through the buffet line. If you're a family member, you might get table 1 or 2. Except that didn't happen to me one time. My youngest brother was getting married and my other brothers were the groomsmen. So they were all sitting at the head table. They forgot to get a seat for me. Show up at my own brother's wedding and have no seat. He's not getting the truck. Our family relationships give us that dignity. So the Blessed Mother's dignity is derived from the dignity of her son. The honor that she had is derived from the dignity of her son. But friends, here's the important thing. We can't just look at it as the two of them, right? Because it's a family connection. We have been baptized into that family. We are baptized into the mystical body of Christ. So today's feast day has two important things about it. One is that we see what Christ did for his mother. And we worship Christ and we honor his mother because he honored her. But there's a second important part of today's feast day. It also shows us what we are called to. Because we are part of that family too. And so our eventual dignity that we will be given as a member of that family is in a sense our own assumption at the end of time. That we are called to be in heaven with Jesus, with his mother, with the saints. We're part of that family. We share in that too. But just as sometimes there are very unfortunate events in family life where a family member might be estranged or there might be problems and they don't get the invitation to Thanksgiving dinner. Sometimes you're thankful you don't get the invitation to Thanksgiving dinner. Sometimes you're not. But the point is, unfortunate things can happen and families can be pulled apart. Well, that can happen in our spiritual family too. If we neglect our life of prayer, worshiping the Lord, coming to Mass, participating in Mass, frequent use of the sacraments, especially confession, sin, particularly mortal sin, pulls apart that family relationship. So we're not guaranteed merely by virtue of baptism that we're going to get to heaven. We have to continue to strive to deepen and strengthen that family relationship. And that family relationship, we can share and we can derive that great gift that God has given us through Jesus because of our connection with the mystical body of Christ. So this, we can share in it, but we have to be careful not to lose it. We can lose our place in the family, the mystical body of Christ. Today's feast day is about the Blessed Mother, that's true. But what we say about the Blessed Mother, we're saying about Jesus. In a sense, when we honor the Blessed Mother, it's sort of like saying a creed that I believe in Christ. That we honor the Blessed Mother this way because we believe who Christ is. And then the next step of that is then a profession of faith that I believe that I am part of that because I've been baptized and I live my faith. Here's my final point. In order to make that happen, in order to stay fully in the family of Christ, our prayer life is of critical importance. That is the time that we talk to Jesus, that we're with Jesus, that we honor the saints, we read scripture. We have to have a prayer life. It is so important that I would propose to you that if you get to the end of the day, and no matter how successful your day was, no matter how good it was, if there was not some time spent in prayer, then the day was a failure. And if you get to that point and you're going to bed and you realize that you haven't said prayers, you haven't talked to the Lord that day, at least do something, no matter how short as it may be. Because without our prayer life, then our family relationship is strained. And if our family relationship with Christ is strained, then we run the risk of not being connected with him at that critical moment of our death. That is what is most important. And today's feast day reminds us of who Jesus is, therefore who his mother is, and therefore who we are called to be.